Sunday, August 22nd, 2021. Welcome. Our scripture readings this week are from Psalms 84, Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And our sermon scripture is going to come from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Our message this week is dressed for faithfulness in the armor of God. Please open your Bibles and read with me. Psalms 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. For even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord, Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk his blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Our gospel reading is from Matthew 4, 1 through 11. The temptation of Jesus. Well, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Well, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Well, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God only and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Our sermon scripture from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of the evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And Paul was a prisoner in Rome when he penned Ephesians. And he was accustomed to being chained to Roman soldiers. He even converted some of them to Christ. And Paul knew of a greater battle taking place, not in the battlefield of flesh and blood, but in the spiritual battle realm of evil adversaries. Well, he tells us that this is the most dangerous and deadliest of all battles. It's a fight to the finish with the believer standing on solid ground, but also on the edge of a slippery slope of temptation. And Christians need to hold their ground and not give an inch to the devil and his temptations. But the good news is that the war was won at the cross of Calvary. But that does not mean that the believers are completely out of harm's way. The battle must still be fought. Believers have every assurance that they will prevail, but at the same time, believers are warned that they still have a fierce fight on their hands. Say, have you ever noticed just how frustrating life can get sometimes? The simplest things can all of a sudden become so complex that even the best of us give in to temptations. For example, a minister parked his car in a no-parking zone in a large city because he was short of time and he couldn't find a space for the meter. So he put a note under the windshield wiper that read, "I have circled the block 10 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. Forgive us our trespasses." Well, when he returned, he found a citation from a police officer along with this note. "I've circled this block for 10 years, and if I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation." Don't you wish you had a suit of armor or some sort of invisible shield to protect you from all the frustrations and confusions of the world? Wouldn't it be great if you could get up every morning and put on a special suit that would protect you and your family from the frustrations, harshness, brutality, and the confusion of this everyday world? Well, we may not have a physical suit of armor, but Paul describes a spiritual suit that is designed just for that purpose. How many of you have heard the phrase, "dress for success"? Well, you can find countless books on the subject, but God doesn't call us to dress for success. He calls us to dress for faithfulness. If you want to sing like the psalmist, "better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere," you need to dress for faithfulness in the armor of God, as Jesus did in our gospel reading today, and as Paul instructed, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes in Ephesians 6:11. So let's take some time today and learn how we are to dress for faithfulness in the armor of God. Let's look at how it is to be used in defense, offense, and presence in our lives. Defense. Most of the articles in the armor of God are defensive purposes. They are to protect the soldier. We're all concerned about that kind of protection even in everyday life. We have computer firewalls, antivirus software to keep folks from getting their important information stolen and stop malicious infections from people who simply want to cause problems for others. I mean, we have security systems in our homes and cars. We have fire alarms and rain gear. And recently, we've all been urged to get vaccinated from the coronavirus, as we have in the past from other ailments. We protect our eyes with sunglasses. We have metal detectors at schools and airports. And they're there to protect us. And Paul says we should protect ourselves spiritually, too, by daily putting on these 5 pieces of defense. And he lists them in the armor of God. So first, the belt of truth. While in Roman armor, the belt protected the midsection from the waist to the knees. It was considered fighting dirty to strike in that area. But because fighting was fierce and dirty, some protection had to be developed. So soldiers today didn't go into battle wearing something that looked like skirts because it was fashionable. The leather and the metal strips of the belt were for protection. And God has crafted the finest and the strongest spiritual armor in the world. And one of the best pieces of it is armor, maybe the smallest and the simplest, the belt of truth. One of the defenses we have against evil, which distorts everything, is truth. Consequently, the best witness is to live truthfully and faithfully. And we're called to live a life of integrity. So gird yourself with the belt of truth. Second, the breastplate of righteousness. So in the armor, the breastplate was designed to protect the vital organs, especially the heart and the lungs. And for us, the spiritual armor protects that vital center of our faith, the heart of our faith, which is righteousness, or simply right living. So being righteous is simply to be faithful, and being faithful always has, will what I do be pleasing to the Lord? Well, many Christians have fallen by the wayside because they let corruption enter in. They let unrighteous thoughts and desires into their hearts and minds, or they go back and pick up the garbage they left at the foot of the cross, and they reburden their lives. That chink in the armor is enough to bring them down. So we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness and live faithfully. Third piece of defense is shoes. I think it's interesting that Paul says, put on whatever shoes work for you. Put on whatever shoes facilitate your purpose, which is to spread the good news and the peace of Christ. Isn't it kind of odd and ironic that Paul talked about the peace of Christ in the midst of this militaristic analog? Well, Paul knew that the peace of Christ is different from the peace of the world. The peace of Christ is an inner peace and a spiritual peace. When we have that, then we can proclaim Christ. The good news lives in us and through us. Choose whatever is comfortable and enabling, but put on shoes that help you spread the good news of Jesus. It doesn't matter if it's running shoes or football spikes, work boots, flip-flops, sandals, or even ballet slippers. For every person in every profession can witness to the peace of Christ through being faithful. Fourth is the shield of faith. The shield protected the soldiers from arrows and rocks and darts. The shield of faith protects us from the flaming arrows of doubt caused by misfortune and or calamity or the sin of another. A shield of faith reminds us that God's promised to be with us, even to the end of an age. And God has never reneged on a promise. And last but not least, the helmet of salvation. For we all know what helmets were for, to help protect the head. Likewise, the helmet of salvation is there to protect our mind. And our minds are both the strongest and most vulnerable part of our faith. Because we can talk ourselves into anything. We can justify anything over any actions if we try hard enough. We fool ourselves all the time. That's why we need the helmet of salvation, to protect our minds from distractions and discouragement. Put on the helmet of salvation. So those are the five pieces of the armor of God for defense. I think it's interesting that Paul only lists one piece of offensive equipment, the sword of the Spirit, which he says is the Word of God. There's an old saying that goes, there's no defense like a good offense. Let me give you an example. So when I was in the Navy, one of my fellow shipmates, he received a Dear John letter from his girlfriend. And in the letter, she explained she had found someone else and wanted to end their relationship and wanted her picture back. Well, the sailor, he was crushed. But he broached the occasion like sailors always do, and he went around to his buddies and he collected all the unwanted photos of women he could find. Well, he then mailed back about 25 pictures of these other women, along with a single picture of his girlfriend, and noted, I don't remember which one you are. Please remove your picture and send the rest back. Well, there's no defense like a good offense. The only weapon, so to speak, which we have available to us in the spiritual armor of God is the sword of the Spirit, or Scripture. It's the Word of God. Well, I know some folks who think the Scripture is a weapon and they browbeat people with it, left and right, and you know that kind, judgmental and self-righteous. Well, that's not what the Scripture is for. Through the Word of God, the Spirit convicts. Through the Word of God, God can and does change hearts. Look at Jesus' example. I mean, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, each time Satan tempted him, he responded with the exact same answer: "It is written." And he then quoted scriptures. You see, evil can't stand up to the word of God. And when you have God's word hidden in your heart and in your head through study, it comes to mind when you need it the most. So plan a good offense. Study the word of God. Read and study the Bible. Now, the purpose of the armor of God is to keep you ready. Ready to do the work of a soldier of Christ. And that work is very simple. It's frontline battle work. It's hard work. And it takes stamina and willpower. It takes focus and a warrior's heart. What I'm talking about is prayer. You and I are called to kneel in the very presence of God and lift one another up in prayer. One of my mentors once told me one of his favorite stories that God uses whenever his head started to swell because everybody kept telling him he was such a good preacher was about the preacher who died and went to heaven. And this preacher was known for as one of the best preachers around, and thousands of people had come to Christ because of his sermons, and he knew it. Well, St. Peter was showing him around, and they passed along through this huge section of humongous homes. And these things were so big that they were nearly castles, not mansions. Either outside or looking out the window of each of them was a little old lady or a widower or a teenager or a child, and they all looked somewhat overwhelmed by the size of their mansions. Well, the preacher was getting excited. If these people, just your ordinary, everyday kind of Christians, got those kind of mansions, imagine what he was going to get. And as they ended their trek through the neighborhood, they came upon a large ranch house. And it was gorgeous, but it wasn't huge. It had everything you could imagine, but it was nowhere near what he was expecting. So he asked why. Well, St. Peter, he sort of grinned and said, "Oh, we appreciate everything you did. You are a great preacher, and thousands upon thousands came to Christ because of you. But truthfully, you were just a distraction. The real work, the tough work, was done on the knees of every one of those people who we passed. They were our prayer warriors. And that's where the real battle was fought." Well, prayer brings us into the very presence of God. Through prayer, we are brought to the throne of grace, and we are enabled to stand before God, not arrogantly, but in all humility, and because we've been invited there. And once there, God wants to know everything on our hearts and minds about everyone we know and love, and even those we don't love. So you and I have been called to dress for faithfulness, not success. We're called to live a life that is pleasing to God in all that we do. But Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you could be successful by worldly standards. Jesus died on the cross because of our sin, because we couldn't be faithful. God doesn't want us to pursue worldly success. God wants us to pursue faithfulness, even in the midst of a frustrating and sometimes amidst the confusion of life. So dress for faithfulness in the armor of God, in his service. This has been Pastor Joe.